Convene the August 17, 2010 special magistrate proceeding for the City of Daytona Beach. Will those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach who will be testifying at this morning's proceedings please step forward and be sworn. Okay. I have reviewed the minutes of the June 8, 2010 meeting and have approved them. I still want to talk about one of the rulings, though. So I've ordered them as approved. All right, we will go to our master plan appeal case number one. The respondent is Fresh at Main. Will those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach and the respondent who wish to be heard on the matter, please step forward.
Good morning. Yes, Robert Lowry.
Raise your hand.
Do you follow
me?
I do.
Okay, is this the same basis for appeal that we've had for every Biketoberfest and Bike Week?
Yes, sir, it is.
A couple years or so?
Yes, sir.
Okay, have the circumstances changed to your knowledge?
No, sir, none at all.
Have you been complying with all the conditions that we had imposed?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right, then I pretty much know what you're going to say. So let me hear if the city has anything to say.
Exact same thing as every event, sir.
Exact same thing.
The only change this year is instead of their crossing guards, they're going to hire our special events officers to do the crossings.
Okay. All right. Anything else you want to say?
No, sir.
All right. Then with that, I will go ahead and grant the respondent's appeal of the Bike Week Executive Committee's denial of its participation in the master plan. Did I say that correctly? Okay. Good luck to you.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
You too. All right. Returning to our agenda, Halifax Wrecking Company Incorporated and Robert Klink.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Barry Hughes here on behalf of Robert Klink. Andrew Honer is standing on my left.
And who?
Andrew Honer. He is an employee of Robert Klink. No. I don't believe so, at least.
All right. As I understand it, we're here for a progress report.
That is correct.
Okay. So what progress have we made?
Substantial. I believe the city will concur that we've made substantial improvements in clearing out the properties that are on the south side that we agreed that were not in compliance.
Give me an overview, if you will, as far as what's going on here, because it's been a while since I've focused on this. As I recall, it was about six cases.
Correct. And we broke them up into the cases of the northern group of properties and the southern group of properties. And we continued the northern group of cases until I believe it's a November docket to determine whether they're in violation or not. The southern group of properties, we stipulated that there would be a non-compliance and that we're given 6 months to remedy the non-compliance. The non-compliance consists of numerous items. There was dumpsters that were holding numerous material. There were some vehicles out there. There's just a lot of debris out there, and it's been probably, if I had to estimate, maybe 60% cleared. We've removed approximately 100 metal containers and have stored them elsewhere, cleared up a lot of the debris. We met with Mr. Kish and Mr. Jackson yesterday at the property, and I believe that they'll concur that there's a lot of progress has been made in the past 3 months.
Okay. And are we in any position to determine a compliance date, or do we already have one?
I think we've indicated in November we're going to try.
2010.
Yeah.
And how are we looking as far as that is that's concerned?
Based on the progress we made, we're looking pretty good on that.
Okay. Let's hear from the city.
Pretty much everything you said. They've made a lot of progress, and I can start to show the pictures there, some before and afters, and we made progress to our satisfaction.
What's the, how do we separate the north from the south? And I understand north versus south. What's what's the demarcation here?
There are two groups separated by about 500 feet, something like that.
Okay.
It is several private, I guess it's public parking.
Yeah.
But there's several properties that separate them. They're almost a block, half a block apart.
Okay. Well, great. Happy to hear it. So it sounds as though the south properties are on track, barring anything foreseen, to be in compliance by November 3rd. And then we turn our attention to the north properties. Are the north properties more the same, or is there something different or unique about them?
The north properties are an ongoing business that's operating there, and that's going to create some other issues that we're going to have to address. And that's something more involved.
I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. I just want to understand what's going on. All right, great to hear. Well, okay. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Case number two, Carrie Bernadette Smith Ramsey. Here for a progress report and determination of a compliance date.
Good morning. I just received a phone call this morning from Mrs. Ramsey, and she stated that her brother, the gentleman who has been appearing, has found out or finally realized that he's going to need counsel to assist him with all of this. So, according to her, they're hiring a lawyer to assist with getting the title cleared. When the title is cleared, then they can get assistance from community development. So as far as the progress goes, there hasn't been a lot of physical progress. Property is being relatively maintained, but it's not really moving forward until this whoever they hire can get into this title work to see if we can get it cleared up, at least enough to get the assistance. Not a lot of progress. They hired an attorney.
Right. That's about as compelling as a warm breeze. Okay, so nothing's going to happen until the title issues are cleared up. The title issues, as I recall, could be significant.
Correct.
And all of that is a precursor to whether or not any assistance is then provided for the respondent to bring this property into compliance.
You got it.
Okay. Well, can we just leap forward to the let's bulldoze the thing order?
Just one point, Mr. Patel. I guess in light of the amnesty and maximum fines, that's maybe the degree of how significant the title issues are may change somewhat.
What does that mean?
Well, we didn't talk about it, but with the maximum fines, that, as you may have read looking at the new resolution.
I read it.
You know, those are immediately in effect. So I think we were talking before, like 84 or something.
Right.
Something like an $84,000 that may now only be
20,000,
which, I mean, it's still a lot possibly for them, but it's a lot different than 80,000. And if they elect and are able to take advantage of the amnesty program, it may even be
less than that.
Although amnesty will be linked with them having to get compliance, so they'll have to come and see. So we'll have to figure that all out. But
that's when I thought this couldn't get more difficult.
But nevertheless, to say that there are, I guess, additional ways now to address it than we were talking at our last month.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they realize that or if that's even something that they talked about yet, and I don't know what attorney they have or if there's something he'll come and discuss, but there are other things that we can look at how we're trying to address the problems.
Okay. Am I to assume then that this resolution, has this been passed?
Yes.
And what you sent me recently, was that the same as what you sent me previously?
That was.
Because I thought I saw some things in here that I don't recall having seen before.
Yeah, we did provide you with the draft.
I read
everything
it.
Was the same except for that last section number six.
Section six?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then am I to read this as to now there are caps on fines and liens?
Yes.
For example, this thing, assuming that's a what is it, a multi-family residence?
Multi-family, not owner-occupied.
Worth $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
I assume could ultimately be facing a...
I think on the bottom we have a...
$20,000 fine?
Yes.
Correct. That's $20,000 one.
Okay, and how does that affect the city's ability to demolish some of these properties? And I'm not saying or suggesting this one needs to be demolished, although it looks like a pretty good candidate.
It will not change the city's ability to make a determination of property that's subject to condemnation based upon this condemnation criteria. If it is subject to condemnation, it still go before a commission and the commission make a determination.
Well, is demolition part of the condemnation process?
Yes. Once the property's condemned, then that's the decision generally is to demolish the structure.
So you can't demolish a structure short of condemnation?
That's what it's always been. Yeah, that's correct. Chapter 22, our determination is that we make a finding of, we condemn the property and based upon that condemnation authority, then we go in and demolish.
So in those... All right. Now, in those instances in which it's agreed, compliance would be fixing something like this or demolishing it. Mm-hmm. And in those instances in which the city comes in and demolishes the property and then imposes a lien for whatever its fees and costs are, are you telling me there's a condemnation process that precedes that?
Yes. Yes. On involuntary demolition, there's a condemnation process that's been in place since 2000.
Okay. All right, well, let me get back to this one. This is here for a progress report, and what I'm hearing is zero, and determination of a compliance date. So, how much time would reasonably be required to bring this property into compliance?
Reasonably 60 days.
Okay.
Right. But I'm going to call her. I don't know if she knows about the amnesty yet. So.
Right. All right, then I'm going to order the respondent to come into compliance by October 6th or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. As far as the title issues, that's the respondent's headache. But one way or another, we're going to do what we do as far as moving forward to try to spark some sort of resolution with regard to this property. So. There we go.
Okay. Well, thank you.
All right. Case number three, James Cotton Jr. and Rebecca Cotton.
Rebecca Cotton. Yes.
Thank you. All right. I'm here. I'm supposed to be hearing a progress report and determination of a compliance date. Madam Inspector, why don't you go ahead and tell me what, if any, progress has been made?
We have good progress and nothing but good news. Her job has been awarded to a contractor. Legal is working on the mortgage and promissory note papers. Should be closed by the end of the month. I think we should have compliance, and Ms. Cotton should have just about a new house by January 1.
All right. So then you're looking for a compliance date into next year at some point?
Yes, sir. Well, make it December 31st.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
All right. Then with that, I'm going to go ahead and order the... Well, I'm sorry. Did you want to be heard, or did you have anything you wanted to add to what you've heard so far?
No.
All right. All right. Then I'm going to go ahead and order the respondent to come into compliance by... Do we know if December 31st is a weekend?
Yeah. It's a Friday.
Okay.
The meeting in January would be the 11th. for the cutoff date would probably be the 5th. Yeah.
By January 5th of 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 4. Norman Riley, respondent present.
Mr. Riley was here. We allowed him to leave. I did speak with zoning, and they are assisting Mr. Riley in coming into compliance with his variance. So we would like to amend this order and continue it to the September meeting.
Can I get some clarification, Mr. Pagelja? When you say what's this variance, you mean he's going before clearance, or
Actually, they came to an agreement, and they're actually going to...
A staff approved?
They're going to approve the 6-foot fence and have it relocated a little bit, so... They're happy. I'm happy.
Okay, so I guess what you're telling me is between Mr. Riley and the City of Daytona Beach, some resolution is in the process, and we hope to have it done by when now?
The September cutoff.
The September cutoff, which would be September 8, 2010.
Yes, sir.
All right.
So we need, you want to amend then?
Yes. Yes, I'm amending.
All right, then I'm going to go ahead and amend our most recent amended order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until September 8, 2010 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. And in this instance, compliance, I guess, would consist of Mr. Riley and the city fashioning some resolution and Mr. Riley complying with the terms of whatever that agreement may be.
Yes, sir.
Because we don't necessarily have it in our paperwork.
Right.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Case number 5, or Arlene Warwick.
Good morning. Mike Clower, attorney for Ms. Warwick, who's to my right. Maybe. Yeah,
state your name, please.
Arlene Warwick. Yes.
All right, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine, and as I understand the notice of violation, we're talking about illegal dock construction and extension, illegal conversion of single-family residence to a triplex, no rental occupational license. Are all of those items still open to be resolved and to be resolved?
No, sir. Actually, the dock has been eliminated by a permit by the adjoining property owner who apparently cut it off at the riparian line. So the dock extension is not part of the issue.
Okay.
At least for code.
And do we have an occupational license yet?
No, sir.
Okay. And as I recall, the argument last time was you bought it as a triplex.
That's
there you go, it's a triplex. Okay. All right, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine. What say counsel?
The building is unoccupied. She has no intention of having it occupied. It's actually in foreclosure. Actually, I think your firm is handling that foreclosure.
Okay. News to me, but all right.
I'll just move it along.
Is this Mr. Corey or Mr. Sweet?
I believe it's Corey.
Yeah, one of them.
Okay. All right, well, that causes me to stop for a moment. All right, apparently I've just learned of a potential conflict. Again, Mr. Corey and I, our practices are separate, but nevertheless, I have to go through this spiel every time we run across this. But we are partners in the building that we own together. And so that having been said, I'm asking the city and the respondent if you would prefer that this matter not be heard by me and you'd be heard by the code enforcement board. That's fine, and I certainly won't take any umbrage at it. So what do you all want to do?
We have no objection to you going forward.
The city has no objection.
Okay. All right, then. All right, so now the property's in foreclosure.
That's correct.
Where does that leave us as far as, I assume the property's not being occupied at present?
Not occupied.
All right, so we're not renting. And we're not using the triplex per se. And the illegal dock issue's been resolved. All right, so I guess what we have before us right now is the triplex. Does that sound about right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you're in for, the property's in foreclosure. Mm. So
it is.
She also has it listed, you know, for sale, but I don't know if the amount of money that's owed on that property in this market. I don't think anybody's going to come in and pay the bank off.
It's so I guess what you're telling me is you're not going to be putting any money into the property for the sake of restoring it back to a single-family house.
That's correct. She just doesn't have the money to do that.
Okay. What's is that your pool?
It's on the property, yes.
Okay, when you say it's on the property...
Well, yes, it is. I mean, if it's still mine, I don't know. Because it's in foreclosure,
well,
I don't know.
Well, we're going to get our backup about that in a minute, but so let me forewarn you of that. Let me talk to our inspector here. Okay, I'm told the property's unoccupied. And it sounds as though it's going to be either foreclosed and or sold. What say the city?
Well, this came in at 3-4. Of 10 through zoning, based upon mainly the extension of the pool or the extension of the dock and illegal conversion. The rental was part of it, and up until 7-7, there were still people living in the upper apartment. The other two had been vacated. I do have the only two things I have as far as documentation. Back in March 9 of 99. I have a document received from the owner at the time, Mr. Ron Beach, who states that during the process of the building of the garage or the apartment with the pool, that it would not never be used as a family a dwelling. And just look, this is something that is in the file. The other thing I have is from Ms. Warwick, basically June 30th. In regards to the case for the extension of the dock, stating that she's giving up her rights of it, and that's just the way it is. The matter of the pool is a separate notice violation that is up and coming.
I can't afford to do anything with it at all right now. So as far as I know, the bank owns it or will be shortly. And, you know, if I had the finances, it wouldn't be in this condition. Pardon me?
Which bank are we talking about?
Aurora.
Who?
Aurora Loan Company. So.
Are they local?
No, they are not. I wanted to, I tried
to. The
reason
I ask is because they're getting ready to get joined in this real quick, because that pool is what's going to be a real problem here. And somebody, and I don't mean you any disrespect, but may very well be you, somebody's going to get fined if that pool's allowed to deteriorate, because we take dirty swimming pools very seriously around here.
Right, because you don't want drownings.
No, we sure don't.
As I know.
Unattended properties that are absolute magnets for children.
How, I know I deal in that business. How can it be? Can it be drained? Can the city just? Is there some way to drain it?
There are some alternatives available, but you'll have to talk to these gentlemen about that.
Okay.
It needs to be drained.
Okay, because I don't know how to do that. I mean, there's probably.
So the inspector could probably help you with at least what the city would.
Okay. Okay.
Expecting. And obviously, I mean, I see it's a large deck, but in Florida, drainage always has the potential of flowing up.
Well, you know, it's a shame that it's come to this, but it's one of the things that I really can't. I mean, I don't want anything to happen to anyone, but I can't really afford to do anything. But I'll, you know.
Ms. McKell, if I could just put one other thing in the mix as. Along with the adoption of the resolution that we were just talking about concerning the amnesty we also adopted the resolution concerning the vacant property registration ordinance, which we adopted a resolution of assigning management of that program that should be operating in full, we assume, by September 1st is what we're anticipating. And that management company, their responsibility is to make contact with the banks and to ensure that they're maintaining and following up on those properties. We currently have an ordinance in effect that makes them responsible for the upkeep if the property is abandoned or not being maintained by the owner. So just something else to make. So it would be appropriate, I think, to let that bank or lender in this situation as a responsible party in the code enforcement, and they very well may have the interest in preventing waste, which is generally an aspect of their mortgage agreement anyway, to preserve the property.
Do I have to wait on a notice of violation to be filed before I can take action with regard to the pool? I mean, you've shown me pictures of a bad pool. I already know it's there. I'm not inclined to sit here and do nothing about it unless you're going to tell me my hands are tied and there's nothing I can say about it. These other matters we'll deal with, given the fact that the respondent's basically abandoning the property. I don't know how else to say it.
I don't know, Mr. Klaus. It's my fault, Mr. McKeldrick. You're looking now at what you see as an emergency condition. Are you able to take action? I think you'll have a due process problem. However, I think that it's been well recognized that a post deprivation act right still arises, so that if you take an action and give notice that that action is taken, then if there's someone who wants to challenge that action or appeal that action, as long as they've been noticed of the action, then they can go on and challenge the action. So what I'm saying is I believe you can take an action, give notice that that action has been taken, and then whatever response that comes from, whether it be the bank or anyone else, would be a post-deprivation action.
Okay, what is the most likely outcome we're looking at here? Is it foreclosure?
It's foreclosure. Can I ask a question? I don't know I don't really know the mechanics of pools. Is there like an outlet valve that can just be taken out or pulled? Or?
Well, that's the part I was asking my inspector.
Well, the normal process is to go through engineering and have it treated before it's drained, and then the sump pump allows it to drain into the sand on the adjoining property, or on the same property. On this one, the last month I was over there at the property, the pump is gone, so there's no access to draining it through the pump system, which is normal, where you can actually flow it through and let it drain. At this point, it's going to take a, because I don't, is electricity still on?
I don't think no.
So. Yeah, it's going to take a generator or the adjoining property owner's approval to allow an extension cord to run a sump pump to allow it to drain onto the property after it's treated, which is done through engineering.
How low is this pool to the ground?
Pardon?
How low is this pool to the ground?
It's an in-ground level. It's above the ground with a concrete deck around it, but it's pretty flat.
So if it's empty, odds are it's going to pop up?
Well, that's been a matter of opinion.
I mean, I just want to make sure these folks are aware of this before we start.
Yes.
You know, if we're going to go volunteering alternatives to these guys, I just want to make sure they're aware of some of the consequences they're looking at.
Right.
For the city's benefit. And I'd say this because I know I've got a pool a block away on the ground, and I've been told I'll never be able to empty that thing.
Well, I can tell you, I mean, I'm all the way up in Flagler County, but I witnessed a pool that was empty that popped up. And
So I'm just alerting y'all that draining the pool is an option, but there are risks involved. That's all I want you to be aware of before you go walking out of here. So I don't know whether your best option is to get it working and circulating or get it draining, but that's your concern. That's not...
Well, there's no electricity. I can't get it up and circulating. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, I don't want it to be a safety hazard, but as far as I'm concerned, I don't have the money to do anything more with it. I've already tried, and I don't. And, you know, besides a bucket, bailing it out, that's about it.
How much time should it take to convert this single-family, this triplex back to a single-family residence based on what you observed, Mr. Inspector? How much time should it take to bring this illegal conversion into compliance?
The illegal conversion is very extensive. There are two complete apartments, one in the separation of the main structure in the front, and the whole garage process is an apartment. Plumbing, kitchen, all those things have to be removed, just like we have done historically. This one is a nicer structure. So the last one that was done, they completely demoed it because of the add-ons. But this one, I would say it would take at least 2 months to get it done with prevent, to demo, cap the plumbing, and to complete that process. As far as the pool, if that comes up as far as a mandate, it shouldn't take more than 2-3 days to get it treated, sump pump plugged in there, and drained it. So the pool should be done quickly. There is an option also with the pool to have chemicals to control algae and mosquitoes. That should be the very least that we should have done. The determination of draining, it's been the best avenue that I've found, and as of yet I haven't seen one pop up. I know it's possible, but it would still at least need to be treated for algae and mosquitoes. It is secure as far as a complete screen around the pool, but it is going to be turning black here real shortly.
Is there, do you have someone that we can contact that's part of the mortgage? I mean, do you have an actual contact or not really? Just the customer service? Or
just probably customer service.
Is this foreclosure action already been filed?
Yes.
So how far away do you think you are from a judgment?
It's one of these ones. Some of these banks plod along, and this looks like a plotter.
Okay. Right.
Unfortunately.
Okay. Well, I guess all we can do is what we're sent here to do. All right. With regard to the notice of violation that's before me, from the testimony I've heard, the illegal dock construction and extension is now moot.
Correct.
With regard to the illegal conversion, I'm going to go ahead and order that the respondent come into compliance by November 3, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. It's my understanding that the property is not presently occupied, and I'm going to go ahead and order that the property not be occupied rented, leased, or otherwise utilized until such time as it's brought into compliance. It's my understanding there are no tenants in there now. Consequently, the no rental occupational license, I assume, is moot at this point in time. Now, with regard to the pool, I'm going to go ahead and order the respondent to come into compliance. With regard to the pool, I'm going to go ahead and order the respondent to come into compliance within the next 7 days. That would give you until, what's today, 17th? That would give you until August 24th to come into compliance. Or, I'm sorry, I'm finding that the pool is in an unsafe condition. I'm finding that the pool is going to require immediate action in order to eliminate a potential hazard to not only the property owner, but others as well. And I'm ordering the respondent to come into compliance by any manner permitted by the City of Daytona Beach by August 25th, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of imposition of a fine up to and including $1,000 per day, during which noncompliance continues. And now, again, let me emphasize, I don't know, but well, you have a number of alternatives available to you with regard to the pool. I understand your financial situation. I sympathize with you, but that's your pool and yours alone, and we're looking to you to take care of it. I understand you may just want to walk on the property, but you're leaving a hazard behind, and none of us want to live with any, you know, horrific outcome here. And so that having been said, I would urge you to get together with the city right away and find out what alternatives are available to you and what alternatives are workable for you to address the pool. Because if the property is empty, which you tell me it is, and I, for one, when they tell me it's secured because there's a screen around it, that doesn't mean anything to me. So I appreciate the fact that the screen's there. Don't misunderstand me. But I just don't consider it much of a deterrent as far as anyone wanting to get into that pool. All right. Is there anything else I need to cover?
Yes, sir. The house is open and needs to be secured. Okay. It doesn't have broken windows. It just simply needs to be locked up.
Okay. I'm also ordering that the house be secured to city standards within 1 week's time. That would be August 25th or the respondent return. I'm sorry, August 24th. Or the respondent be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, notwithstanding the financial circumstances, you have an obligation to maintain the property, not because you intend to utilize it. I already understand that you don't, but just to keep it from becoming a hazard to others. And so that means you're going to have to deal with the pool, like it or not, and you have to secure, you have to make sure the windows are there, the windows locked, the doors locked, so that we don't have transients passing through. And with that, we've given you 90 days to come into compliance. I understand you're not going to come into compliance. Hopefully, over the course of those 90 days, maybe a bank or someone else will be stepping up here to do something to bring this property fully into compliance. So until that happens, you're still going to be responsible for keeping the property safe.
Okay. You'll help me figure out what to do? Okay, because I really... I don't know what to do.
Okay. They'll work with you.
Okay.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Mr. Inspector.
There you go. Thank you, sir.
I love that one.
Okay, case number 6 I have as being in compliance.
Yes.
Case number 7, Fran J. Lassiter.
Good morning.
Good morning. If you would please state your name and be sworn.
Timothy Hassler. Yes.
And Mr. Hassler, what's your affiliation with the respondent, Mr. Lassiter?
Property manager for the property.
Okay. All right. The nature of the violation, as we started, was rodent harborage. That sounds awful. Windows and doors, roof and drainage, no rental license. The property was supposed to be brought into compliance by August 4th, and I have an affidavit telling me it's not in compliance. Let me hear from our inspector. Have we had any effort?
Since we were last here, there has been a partial inspection for an occupational license. There's two structures on the property. The front structure is where all the violations started. The occupational license is going to cover the whole property. The front passed, the rear did not. So there has been some progress on the property as far as the occupational license goes. In regards to the other violations that all were accumulated on the front structure, if it did pass the occupational license, then all of our violations are in compliance. So
we're lacking an occupational license for a back structure?
That's correct.
The back structure portion of an occupational license?
That's correct.
And other than the occupational license, there's nothing else to be done?
As far as I'm concerned, correct.
So he just needs to come to the city and...
He needs to get that rear portion together so he can pass his occupational license. And then everything will be in compliance. So ultimately, it's just the occupational license.
There's stuff that needs to be done. It's not what's cited.
Correct.
But those things are the things that's required for them to be able to obtain the rental license, or the OC license. What are we talking about?
In order to get the OC license, yes,
so
those violations have to be
corrected.
Things
to do, but they're not cited things. They're
and does the respondent know he's got these things to do?
May I respond?
Sure.
Yes.
Yes, I do. We in an effort to resolve the front property issues. The last issue was the rental license, and we applied for and had an inspection, and I have a response to that. That has some extensive work that they want performed, including fire blocking, things like that, so I'm now pulling the permits to have the rear building come in compliance. And until I get that building in compliance, then I don't think the front one will be in compliance. Because of the rental issue, rental license issue.
And how much time is it going to take you to finish what you're doing?
They want they want a lot of things done on the rear, sir. At least 60 days. I'm just now applying for permits, and this inspection is dated on the 5th of August.
Okay, is this property presently occupied?
The front, yes, it is.
The front's occupied, the back is not?
The rear is occupied also. And I think under the rental license issue, we were requesting that if we can resolve 314 Cottrell, which is the code violation at issue, and open up a separate case, giving me more time to complete the rear issues, which just now... I'm just now getting the inspection report on, then we can move on from this, or I guess I'm requesting an extension to complete the repairs on the rear.
Is the rear structure considered 314 as well?
No, it's a separate address. That's the issue here, I believe. And we would like to separate the cases and resolve 314, but that's, of course, up to you.
Well, I understand what you're saying, and there may be some merit to it, but it sounds to me like we're close enough, and maybe we'll just wrap it up right here with this, because I don't mind giving you additional time in order to do that. I assume that sounds like a reasonable enough plan.
Yes.
Okay. So you're estimating 60 days.
Yeah, I think the permit will probably take 10 days approximately. I have an electrician that has to go on the permit.
So if I give you 90 days or...
That would be...
Somewhere between 60 and 90 days.
Yes,
the way
sir.
All this works out.
Yes, sir.
That would make it that much more certain to be done.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. I'm going to want our minutes to reflect that there is a back structure at 314 Cottrell Avenue that is impacted by the rental license requirement, that there is additional work being done by the respondent, and that we're allowing additional time then for the respondent to complete those repairs and what have you. All right, so that having been said, I'm going to go ahead and amend our previous order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until November 3, 2010 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Walter Washington Jr. and Clara Washington. Anyone for the respondent? Imposition of a fine. What say the city?
Mr. Pekosa, this property has also been condemned by the city building official, and the city is asking for $25 per day.
Has any work been done?
Other than it being secured, no. And it was secured by the city.
Okay. Secured by the city. And how do you arrive at your $25 per day, just out of curiosity?
Well, like I said, it has already been condemned by the city building official. And it's our hope that it'll be down before it is around long enough to accumulate anything that we really need to have to worry about amnesty and all that other fun stuff. So hopefully it'll be down quicker than the pain of the fine.
Okay, and recognizing our new amnesty program, which I'm going to be talking about at length when we're done here, is the amount of the fine that I now impose have any bearing whatsoever on the city's ability and or willingness to eliminate this structure, since I assume it's on its way to elimination? Does it have any bearing at all anymore?
No, and it really never has. I mean, I know.
Well, it never has because the city never did anything.
No, I mean, the city has been doing demolitions over here.
No, they haven't been doing demolitions.
Yeah.
They've never attempted to foreclose any of these liens, though.
Right. And that's a different question. Yeah. Does it have any bearing on foreclosure?
No, I don't care about that anymore. I'm way past.
Okay. Condemnation itself, no, it has no bearing. If there's any difference, Mr. Kelly, the difference is the effort in the future to collect on the vacant property, whether that's if it's no real respondents, if we elect to ultimately will foreclose, how does the dollar amount relate to the value of the property?
Okay, for prospective application, the principal amount of fines imposed, exclusive of interest and repair costs, shall not exceed, for owner-occupied single-family properties, the maximum fine shall be $10,000. So I guess, am I now supposed to say 25, for example, and I haven't decided what I'm doing yet here, am I now supposed to say, for example, $25 per day until such time as the property comes into compliance, or $10,000, whichever comes first?
Yeah, that would be, yes. Yeah, I guess probably a more comfortable way is for you to say not.
Or until it reaches the maximum fine of $10,000, at which time the fine will cease to accrue.
All those things. The understanding, Mr. McCullough, that the intent here, and I explained the same thing to our cohort, the intent here is not that once it reaches the maximum fine that now let's forget about it, but just the opposite. Once it reaches the maximum fine, we have not triggered a review on a new action on this property that would trigger us to have to come back and review or take further action.
Okay. Do we have any other respondents here? No. Is this room empty?
Okay.
All right. You know, the problem I have with this is, have you gotten any cooperation out of this property owner?
Negative, no.
Then my
no
inclination
contact.
Is a fine a lot more than $25 per day. Now, I understand the economic reality here that you're never going to see anything. It's just a matter of whenever the city gets around to demolishing it, you know. But what do I do when another property owner comes in who may very well be inclined to repair his house, you know, but when he knows he's facing a whopping $25 a day fine, tells me, take a hike. do whatever I want, and don't fine me anything more than you fine that one right there.
I have no argument.
Okay. All right, meaning no disrespect to our inspector, I'm going to go ahead and order the respondent to pay the sum of $50 per day, commencing August 4, 2010, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or until the principal amount of the fine has reached the maximum fine amount of $10,000. I think I said that one pretty well, so you might want to try to remind me of that one. Okay.
If I could just say this, Mr. McKelvin, as we wrestled with that, and I don't know if it was much of a wrestle, but the finding is still, the criteria doesn't change. The criteria we have is still the same criteria. I know that it's been relaxed a little from a staff perspective just because of the general overall economic concerns, the economy in general, but in terms of looking at the effort someone has made to come into compliance, the significance of the...
See, that's not your job. That's not your job, and you don't need to be doing that. You're meeting out justice is what you're doing. That's my job. You're supposed to come in here and say, this clown hasn't done the first thing I asked him to do. This property's been like this forever. It's not only this person totally disregarding the city of Daytona Beach. He or she has no regard for the neighbors, which are now being subjected to this. And then it's up for the respondent to come in and go, woe is me, I'm broke, I'm poor, the economy sucks, give me a break. And I'll consider it, you know. And so my only point is, and I'm not trying to be discourteous or blunt, y'all are worrying yourselves about a lot more than you need to worry about. You need to be out there banging heads and saying, get these properties in compliance. Now, maybe the special magistrate will cut you some slack when you start crying about how you're out of work, you know, or you're crippled up, or whatever it may be, or the economy, and I'll certainly do that. But y'all don't need to be concerning yourselves about that.
And that's quite honestly the...
You're an enforcement arm. Yes.
The inspectors need to hear that.
Not only that, you're now part of the police department, aren't you?
Yeah, they're
okay.
Under supervision. Because independently, they're looking at their criteria feet and picking numbers as well. But ultimately...
They who?
I mean, the inspectors individually, but ultimately... Okay. You're
and
looking
let me
at
hasten to add, I don't hesitate to ask inspectors what I think a reasonable fine would be. So I'm not at all offended that a fine is suggested. I'm having trouble reconciling any fines at this stage of the game with this program.
Right. And I know we're going to talk about it after we finish, but I guess what I'm saying is, irregardless of the inspector's recommendation, I think what you just said is I'm 100% in agreement with, that the ultimate decision of what the fine is still based on the same criteria from the statute and from the Article 3 of the code, the Land Development Code, regardless of our amnesty program, our maximum fines, or what the inspector says.
Okay.
So you still have, you know, the freedom and liberty to utilize what you've been utilizing, which is the criteria that's been set.
Well, I just don't want our inspectors out there feeling more handcuffed than they are already. Okay. Anyway, we'll keep working our way through it. Was that Walter Washington and Clara Washington?
Yes.
Case number 9 is in compliance. Case number 10, Comp House Ocean Waters, LLC. Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
I have been in constant contact with numerous Plaza and Daytona Hotel people. Mr. Hayatala, Highcliffe, Marsha Branton, and Aaron Thompson. They're basically reporting to me about every third day. They have, I would say, close to 80% in compliance, so I'd like to amend this to the next cutoff. Pardon? Oh, wait a minute.
Property's not in compliance, I assume.
Oh, I'm sorry. Not quite.
Can I have 1 second, please?
Yes, ma'am.
I was just reading the captain's reports, and they were just affected by the
They're in non-compliance at this time.
All right. Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Okay. It sounds as though work's in the way. Work's underway.
Yes. Officer Syracuse just had mentioned that they were part of a. Somebody had glued a bunch of the doors together. I'm not sure how that's going to work. I'm going to have to go over there and take a look at it. But I'm sure that the management's aware of it, and hopefully they will have that issue fixed today.
Okay, so how far away are we from compliance?
From their opinion, next cutoff would be fine because they're basically dealing with the south side sheet metal edging and the overhang that is adjoining to it. They are completely replacing the whole thing instead of just cosmetically fixing because there's a lot of rotten wood up underneath the overhangs. The metal is going to be covering it, so they're going to go back to removing it all, replacing the support systems, and putting up a whole new metal fascia on the south side in the parking lot. And that's the major last one. They are continually, they have a lot of doors to replace, damaged. They, last time I talked to them, last month, they were up to 20. And they are systematically taking 10 doors at a time because each one of them is a major structural issue. They have permits in place for everything, so they are working on it pretty diligently. All of the fire requirements are taken care of. Exterior wiring hanging has been removed. The broken windows have been fixed. The trash containment area has been replaced. So they've made major headway, and they are constantly calling me about their progress.
All right, so how much time do you want me to give them?
How much time?
30 days. Next cutoff.
Well, next cutoff is September 8th. So that's 3 weeks away. So why don't we go? It's going to October 6th?
Yes, please. That'd be good.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and order the respondent to come into compliance by October 6, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 11, Felix Matta. Dead trees. Okay, not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
This property is in non-compliance, and the only note that I would make on this is that there is another case on this property with a running fine already in place for outside storage of junk and debris.
Do you happen to know how much that fine is, just out of curiosity?
As of yesterday, it's at
$18,800?
Correct.
It's a $10,000 maximum fine.
Correct. Right, if it falls under the amnesty.
No.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Never mind.
Never mind.
Non-compliance.
How much time to come into compliance?
The next cutoff.
All right, based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by September 8, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. I have case number 12, Carl Woods, as being in compliance. I have case number 13, Joanne Huff, as being in compliance. Case number 14, Joseph Enterprises USA LLC. Working without permits. Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
The respondent was here earlier. As of right this minute, non-compliant. They applied for the required permits on 8-5. The permits were approved on 8-10. However, the permit was not issued. I instructed him to go downstairs to pay for the permit and actually get it issued to him, and I'll be able to check that as soon as we get out of here. So ultimately, this is non-compliance, next cutoff.
All right, based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to commit to compliance by September 8, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 15, BH Properties, LLC, I have as being in compliance. Case number 16, AR and JB Plaza, LLC. Not seeing a respondent. What say the city?
It's a shopping center. It's in foreclosure. I have been in contact with the receiver. I was supposed to have an appointment yesterday to be let inside to take a look at the wiring. Got no response, so we're right now at non-compliance and looking at next cutoff.
Shopping center in foreclosure. Where is this?
8th Street in Derbyshire. Derby Plaza.
Is this a brand new shopping center?
No, it had some about a year ago. It had some renovations.
Okay.
Yeah, a long time ago.
All right, and how much time to commit to compliance?
30 days.
Okay, does that mean you want September 8, 2010 or October 6, 2010?
October 6.
All right, based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance, and I order the respondent to commit to compliance by October 6, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 17, James Cortazar. Not seeing a respondent. What say the city?
There has been no contact, no application for an occupational license. We're in non-compliance, and we're looking for the next cutoff.
All right. Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance.
Can we make that October? I will not be here for the September meeting.
Okay, order the respondent to come into compliance by October 6, 2010. Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 18, Diana M. Benizet. Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
They have made application for an occupational license. It has twice failed. We're in non-compliance, and I would like to be in compliance by 10-6, please.
Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. And I order the respondent to come into compliance by October 6, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Miscellaneous business. J.J. Curtis, removal of fine requested by administration. Okay. What is this about?
Long story short, he was cited about a junk vehicle by code.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was also cited by patrol. When you're cited with patrol, you're allowed to do a notice of hearing. He requested a notice of hearing. And he also requested an extension, so I gave it to him. He thought that the extension meant that he was done with code board.
Okay.
So I got with Tom Klig, and I just said to him, since when Klig came before you, Jay wasn't here because I had already told him that he had the extension.
Right. Okay. All right. So what have
Patrol's
we done?
Patrol's handling it.
Pardon?
Patrol is going to handle it.
Patrol's
on
handling
our end.
It. So I am. We're what? Looking to me to vacate the order imposing.
Yeah, order.
Yes.
Okay. Of the fines. Yes.
All right. Based on the officer's report, I'll go ahead and order that the order imposing fine/lien entered May 11, 2010, be vacated. Okay.
Thank you.
Miscellaneous business number two, Harold W. Hunter Sr. and Lisa Hunter Davis.
It's sort of the same situation. We actually went through the whole case with the wrong address, and I didn't realize it until after the imposing the fine and lien, I went to put in the address and noticed that I had the wrong address. So it's in compliance. So it's not really an issue, but there is an actually fine that was imposed, the one time 250 that we need to pay as well.
Okay, and was an order in fact entered?
An order was entered, but it wasn't recorded.
Okay, and was it entered on the date this draft indicates, July 13, 2010?
Yes.
All right, then I'm going to go ahead and order the order imposing fine slash lien entered on or about July 13, 2010 be vacated. Case number, or miscellaneous business number 3, Suzanne Galasso, Kathleen J., and Leon A. Lynette. What say the city?
These people got their occupational license prior to the compliance date, so they were in compliance. Another office just never entered the information into the computer, so when I checked, I saw no license. So we'd like to vacate the order.
Based on the report of our inspector, I will go ahead and order that the order imposing fine slash lien entered July 13, 2010 be vacated. All right, that's our regular agenda. Now, before I get to Amnesty International here, I have special magistrate hearing May 4 minutes.
Yes. I redid those because they were horrible the first time.
So are these the redone?
Yeah. And they're bad again?
Well.
Totally reviewed them this time.
Yeah, no, it just makes your special magistrate sound totally arbitrary and irrational because I see the city's argument in here, but I don't see why it is I decided to release and vacate the lien, unless this is your way of getting back at me, because you're someone's upset that I vacated a lien. Wasn't this the one where...
It was the Ramada Inn. It was the...
I know it was all confused, and there was like, somebody said don't work, somebody said do work, they went ahead and worked, then they found out they shouldn't have worked, the work had already been done.
The inspector wasn't here when the proceedings initially started, and he came about after that already gotten started. So this better kind of fill the gap after we had already got started.
Okay. Is the city satisfied with these minutes? I mean, I really don't care. Now, if the city wants to challenge my deciding to vacate this lien, then I guess I would be inclined to have it amended to include some of the reasons or explanations that were given during the course of the hearing that I relied upon in deciding to do whatever I did. If the city doesn't care about it, then I'm not going to worry myself about it. So, which is it?
I'm just afraid the city's satisfied with the minutes.
All right, then I'll go ahead and sign it as is. All right, now.
I just condensed them even further and just put them online for everything.
Pardon?
I could condense them further than that.
The other question I had was...
Yeah. You had a ruling on one of the things in June?
Oh. There was a case last time we were here. Well, this was the June meeting. Woodley Investment Company, LLC. And it says, Mr. Jackson asked Mr. Vicalager to revisit his order for the lien review to include administrative costs. Mr. Vicalager denied the request. And I don't know if you and I ever had a chance to talk, but I went to that seminar you all paid for me to go to over at Disney World at 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning. And they were very clear that you can't just pluck an administrative cost number out of the air and utilize that for the purpose of trying to recoup your administrative costs. And unfortunately, you and I didn't have a chance to talk before that very topic came up in front of us. So I didn't mean to offend you when I just denied it, but I guess what I was going to say or suggest is I think the city ought to come up with an administrative cost, but just do so in such a way, and I'm not talking about form a commission to go study this, that, and what have you, but I mean just come up with something that y'all can justify with regard to an administrative cost or levels of administrative cost, because of course some cases are more extensive than others, and then I will have no problem with that at all. It's just that having come fresh from my little seminar where they said you weren't supposed to do exactly, you know, what we were considering doing, I figured I'd better wait until I had a chance to talk to you about that. So my point is, whatever it be, 500, 750, 1,000, 1,500, is irrelevant to me, you know, but I think somebody ought to just come up with and say, well, you know, this averages 20 hours of an inspector's time at a base rate of $45 per hour, whatever. I don't care what it is. And again, I'm not looking for onerous details. I'm just saying come up with something logical, and that's all you need to do, and I'll do that.
We're looking fully. We actually had that come up over several years ago when Jay Carter was here, and we discussed possibly imposing, or actually when we had the gentleman that was on our board that passed over. I can't think of his name right at the moment. But he really had a lot of thought that he wanted us to have an administrative cost. When we talked about it, we sat as a staff and considered the city staff the wrong way to legal. And ultimately, we never got it to commission and adopted. But I knew if you're without an adopted administrative cost, I think we've been using that term sometimes without the intention of using it in the manner which is used in 162 when we say it. I mean, because one administrative cost is truly something that's been adopted, and as far as a right to impose and apply, because it's actually separate from the code in the manner which it's ultimately enforced under 162 as a separate cost.
See, if I had
from the fine
an administrative cost schedule, so to speak, that, and I don't care how you come up with it, as long as you tell me, yeah, that's what we came up with, because I'm not going to be doing it. You know, for example, I would have a hard time envisioning a lien review that administrative cost wasn't at least recouped, unless it was one of those rare ones where it was obvious that there never should have been a lien at all. Anyway, I just wanted to, as I was going through the minutes, I was reminded that I wanted to talk to you about that.
That's what I was trying to figure out. So this was the lien review we were talking about?
This was one where it was the foreclosure and the list pendants, and the guy was out, and it ran for a lot longer than it should have, because I think there was a very close within a week in where they were.
Yeah, I think I was intending on my intent in using that phrase, so that term was in defining what I thought would be a fair minimal amount. That's all, as a minimal.
Okay. I agree. I just need a number to be able to plug in there. Without just, you know, pulling one out of the air. And we ought to have that. We've talked about it for a long time. Okay, amnesty. This is a lot more than just an amnesty program here. It appears to me to be an amnesty program. It also appears to be a fine schedule, so to speak, going forward.
Well, actually, it's two things in one resolution. I mean, it really is intended to be two separate
and
events.
It's a special magistrate assistance program. I'm sure I'm going to say this badly, but I guess I'm now being endowed with the authority to just tell people if they can't afford to fix their homes, not a problem.
Well, now that was not plan when it went into the commission meeting. That was the result of the discussion of the commissioners and the request.
And just out of curiosity, why is it the special magistrate, why is the code enforcement board not giving any of that discretion? Forget I asked, never mind. Okay, all right, so how is this going to happen? I mean, I understand going forward the fine caps. Okay, that's easy enough. So what's going to happen? Folks are going to file these applications. They're going to end up on our agenda. And at that point, and the other thing that I absolutely do not understand. You didn't draft this, did you?
No.
Okay, the reason I ask is because to qualify for the amnesty program, requirement number three is The real property, which is the subject of the fine or lien, including all improvements, must be in compliance with the city codes and ordinances. That's a threshold requirement for qualification.
Right.
Then under city assistance, the city will assist applicants who have limited financial resources in identifying funding sources for which they may be eligible, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, or to pay for repairs necessary to achieve code compliance. So they're supposed to be in compliance in Section 2. Section 6 says, well, we're going to talk about you even though you're not in compliance. Okay, so...
Actually, Mr. McKelvey, that came up at the last workshop, that conversation that, or concern that people would not be able to reach compliance and their compliance, and again, from different various commissioners having different opinions, but that people would not be able to necessarily reach the compliance and not be able to get the benefit of amnesty. because
I hear you verbalizing this.
Because basically the whole idea is to...
Sounds like my kid when he tells me I wouldn't have been speeding if I only hadn't been going so fast.
the whole idea that they were trying to address was this whole issue of having properties in non-compliance more than anything else, more than collection of fines or anything else. So that if someone wanted to come and try and bring their property into compliance but did not have the means, because the initial application for amnesty, as you see there, includes a review and determination of whether or not they're eligible based upon the status or compliance of the property. So if they don't have those means and they want to seek some redress, then I guess you get to consider, or after they're they get to be made aware of programs available, and they can seek to utilize those programs to get themselves in a position of eligibility for resolving the liens. That's my best understanding of the intent, and that's what I remember from the meeting.
Was this Section 6 in the draft that you had sent me?
No. Sections.
Because I don't remember this at all. I read the draft.
Section
6 appears to be a dumping ground where all sorts of things just kind of fell.
Section 6 was in the proposed one, but there was that line that was added.
That's what I was saying. There was a Section 6, but this just... that little portion was
added.
The portion regarding you was added, or your review.
Okay, because the reason I'm wrestling around with this is, okay, so somebody, I guess we have two levels, and I'm loathe to even say this, I guess we have two levels of folks. We have those who actually came into compliance at some point, but they've got this exorbitant fine or lien for whatever circumstances may have occurred, and so they want it reduced, so they come in here, they're in compliance, they pay their $50 fee. I sit here and go to my schedule and I say, well, you're not going to... I don't go to my schedule.
Well, you probably wouldn't be hearing what part you would hear, from what I understand, is anyone who can't. It's
the special circumstances.
Special circumstances and can't afford the $250. Can't even afford the $250.
Okay.
I think, right?
Okay. Yeah, that's my understanding as well. I don't believe that there's necessarily
applications, or it just be specifically special circumstances where, you know, they can't even afford...
So they pay their $50, they come into compliance,
if
it's a single-family residence, they pay the city $250, and their lien's gone.
Right, it's a city lien, okay. The city takes its action administratively, and it's done.
So that's all administratively done, that's not coming here.
Right.
So more likely than not, what's coming here is the folks who can't come into compliance.
No, I think they have to be in compliance as well.
Well, this
for the
right
hardship
here,
of special circumstances.
Well,
Section 6, the city will assist
help
applicants.
To get into compliance. Like, if they apply, they need to get help. But I don't think he's the funding that they're supposed to.
They do that from the city.
Yeah, I think. It's like, we would help them figure out how to get their funding and everything to get in compliance. And they still don't have money to pay for the application or the reduced amounts. And then they would come here and because of their financial circumstances or show whatever hardship they have. why they can't.
And I think
afford to do that.
Mr. Kelly,
or a partial waiver or a full waiver.
Yeah, if you want to compare, because I'm not reading it, but I thought that Amy had done a good job with the highlight, and she has a highlight page, and the way she verbalized it there is kind of a little clearer, at least from what I think it means. On that single highlight sheet she had given me as well under Section 4. And you can see if that reconciles with what you're reading in the whole resolution.
And then if people, third parties, can demonstrate that they weren't the violator at the time, then they can come in and request a full or partial waiver.
Okay. So what comes here?
Only the people with the special circumstances if they request it.
After the city has already brought them into compliance?
The city assisted them whatever way. Whether they've gotten into compliance because they went on their own, well, ultimately they're doing it on their own, but whether they had the finances to do it or they were already in compliance or they came and sought some assistance so that they can get into compliance. But they're not moving forward in the amnesty process, which ultimately means either meeting the standard or seeking some relief.
So if they arrive here, they're in compliance.
Yes, that should be.
They will have either brought themselves into compliance or under Section 6 with the city's assistance will have found other means that allow them to come into compliance.
I believe that.
That's what I believe as well.
And then when they come here, they'll be asking me to waive either the reduced amnesty amount or fine and or the application fee.
That's correct.
Based on their circumstances.
Yes.
And I think there's specific criteria that outlines what you're to consider as far as their financial hardships concern. I don't know what that is.
And if I find out a previous owner was responsible for all this, then they're off the hook altogether.
You can make that determination based upon their presentation. Or you can reduce it depending on the degree of culpability based upon what their presentation.
And going forward, we have our fine caps.
Actually, the fine caps, yes, going forward, but it's also retroactive. All fines that are on the books right now are under this cap. We no longer have any fine that exceeds $25,000.
So if somebody comes next month...
Oh, well, I mean, except for the $5,000.
If somebody comes next month for a lien review... and they've got a $200,000 lien on a single-family home that's been accruing for years, automatically that gets adjusted down to $10,000.
If it's owner-occupied, yes. And we had that
my
example.
My discretion is from zero to $10,000.
That's correct.
Okay. All right.
Now, what it specifically says there is that that's excluding... excluding
interest
and costs. So, you know, the filing fees and interest. And what we've chose to make that mean is that that's interest that starts accruing from the date that this went into effect. Not, that's the only thing that made any sense from an ability to calculate it and manage. So from the date that this will in effect forward will be the interest that would be accruing on the amounts that, if there are amounts that have already maxed, the interest accruing on those maximum amounts.
Now this is running from, it says program duration September 1, 2010 to March 1, 2011.
That's correct. The six-month program, remember, the amnesty program is a separate independent program from our maximum fine. Our maximum fine is
it's in the same resolution.
Understand.
Okay.
Maximum fine is an adoption of a new declaration that all fines are this amount.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sure you'll be here to help me figure it out. All right. So... and how do the citizens with all these liens know this program's running? Well, will be running.
That's what we're working on right now. Our intent and the effort and the expectation is that we will be doing a very aggressive notification campaign throughout our city. It has not been managed yet, so I can't define it in full. We have thoughts of what will happen, but I can't tell you what all is going to happen.
And I'm really not trying to be cute, but this forgiveness thing under Section 6, why is the Code Enforcement Board not included there? And the reason I ask is because I'm just questioning as to whether or not the resolution would be attackable, because you have two bodies you make reference to throughout this document until you get to that point.
I was told by one of the code board members that there was someone said at the meeting, I was not at the meeting and I didn't listen to the minutes or review it, but something to the effect of to have continuity in the decision making, I guess, to have a single decision maker as opposed to the full body.
I mean, it doesn't really matter to me. I was just kind of, the lawyer in me read this resolution and said, well, how could you single out that thing to just take away from one of the existing quasi-judicial bodies that you have, because you do have two, but that's not my
concern. I did not have a full discussion with the city attorney on that yet. I was asked to discuss that with the city attorney, both by the code board attorney as well as a vocal member of the code board.
Alright. Well, that's fine. Like I said, we'll work our way through it. And then, as I understand it, you're telling me the maximum fines part, notwithstanding the language about this lasting for 6 months, the intent there is for that to continue on.
That's correct.
Okay.
Right. And something that it came up a little bit as we tried to discuss one of them in this meeting today is that for the most part, anytime we really want to discuss maximum fine, we actually have to recognize the category. And sometimes that's not automatic and immediate on its face. The single-family duplex owner-occupied versus the single-family duplex non-owner-occupied. So even when you asked me, or when I suggested there was a $10,000 max on one of the properties we were talking about, I think I was subsequently told, oh, at the time when it was cited, it was a non-owner-occupied structure, so it would actually have been $15,000. So that's just something we always have to keep in mind. And we're basing it on the at the time that they were cited or what the status of the property was. Because obviously over the time periods, the status changes either through people moving in, moving out, or demolition and vacant lots.
Okay. All right. I think that was all I had. I talked about the minutes. I talked about the special minutes. All right, I guess I'll want to be sure to have a copy of this handy. Meeting's going forward. Well, as a practical matter, I have a feeling that I would actually see very few of these amnesty applicants then.
We have the same feeling. When we, as I said, it came up at the code board meeting, and the code board member was very vocal. The code board attorney had some concern as well, but then he ultimately recognized what you just said, that, oh, well, if it's just this, then that's not going to be very many, and so I guess it's really not a big deal. But nevertheless, they did ask me to speak to the city attorney about it. We spoke briefly, but I didn't actually make it clear what their concerns were.
And then I guess the only lingering effect this would have would be if you have folks out there with big fines and liens that do not participate in this program, who end up coming back for a lien review. At that point, the maximum fines part kicks in.
That's correct.
So this is effectively knocking all those down to that amount right now.
Yes. And something else to recognize, and I guess that was our hesitancy when we were trying to answer a question about was that the only time they come to you for the items in there? I mean, we still are having, if it's appropriate, we would still have normal lien reviews. And I guess the only thing left during the amnesty period that would be a normal, and I'll put that in quotes, lien review would be something that's really abnormal, and that's someone who's coming with a situation that may not be in compliance, but they still are seeking some major remedy. We've had very few of those, but we've talked about those on a few occasions, like, you know, pending short sale or something else, and they really needed some intervention if that was possible.
And lastly, if you've established these maximum fines, and I don't know what thinking went into arriving at these maximum amounts. They're obviously considerably less than a lot of the liens that we see. Does that mean that the city is less likely to entertain reductions than they have been in the past, considering the fact that they've now brought the liens into something of more of what I guess what I would call a normal realm as opposed to an outrageous realm?
I guess we're really left with
I
that.
I guess what I'm trying to say is the quid pro quo here, as far as I'm concerned, ought to be that, you know, we're knocking this down to a maximum of $10,000. That's to help knuckleheads like you who used to come in here who'd run up $200,000. That's the good news is it's knocked down to $10,000. The bad news is there ain't a whole lot of discretion left as far as going from zero to $10,000, because that's the quid pro quo you got for getting the ridiculous amount knocked down. So don't be wearing us out now to basically try to whittle us down even more, because we've given you a lot of benefit of the doubt here by capping your fine in circumstances.
Yeah, I was about to say, obviously it just becomes an argument of the city that it's a reasonable fine, and but it's still going to be left to, you know, you or magistrate or the code board to determine if there's further reduction, because it's not looked at as an actual, you know, judicial or quasi-judicial determination for a reduction. It's a cross-the-board reduction based upon amending our schedule. So, yeah, they'd still be eligible to come in and ask for a lien review, and then you can take that as part of your consideration that this once was a $270,000 fine, and now it's only a $10,000 fine. I'm not inclined to reduce it any further, if that's what you saw like. And we would probably be taking a position that would be a reasonable determination at that point.
Okay. We'll figure it out. Thank you all.
You're adjourned.